from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're here for Locked On Chiefs. It is the morning of game day. Chiefs are going to take on the Raiders, and hopefully they're going to have a bounce back game. And we're brought to you by my bookie today. You win, you get paid. Check out, use the promo code Locked On, and you can get your deposit bonus up to $1,000 and 100% bonus. The Chiefs have ruled out a couple of players from playing in Thursday night's game. They include Charcandrick West with the concussion, along with Mitch Morse and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Unfortunately, neither of them are going to be able to go. Also questionable is Albert Wilson. We knew that was coming. He's got a knee that he's kind of dealing and struggling through. So don't think that you're going to see a whole lot of him, but you never know. He could turn around. Maybe he'll be available for Thursday night. If not, certainly I would think the game afterwards. So that's what comes out on Wednesday morning. We're going to go through and give you the preview for this show here in just a second. We wanted to say thank you and want to remind you that we're giving away these PFF subscriptions. They are through PFF Edge, and they are doing the selections off of the folks that leave their Twitter handle in a review for us on iTunes. So if you want to jump in there, go ahead and jump on iTunes, spread the word and leave a review, and hopefully you can get that PFF subscription. We are lucky enough to have old pal of the show, Seth Kaiser, back with us from Arrowhead Pride. How are you, bud?
Hey, guys.
Having any fun yet?
I took a beating on Twitter the other day, but other than that, I'm doing all right.
You know, who hasn't?
Yeah. It's just too much. We really have become spoiled. I mean, we really have. The Chiefs win so much more than they lose.
Right.
And people just freak out. Now, to be fair, the nature of that loss was rough, but no, all I said was don't blame the defense and kaboom.
Well, and I don't want to kaboom it, but we got to have a discussion because I don't necessarily agree with you. Well, what did you say? You thought it was like 20% or something?
Maybe 20, yeah.
The funny thing to me on that, and you guys can have your discussion here in a second, but I got people cussing at me on Twitter during the game because it was going so bad.
And that's people like get really upset. This is supposed to be fun. But anyway, but no, so talk to me, Ryan. So you don't agree with me. So what percentage would you put on the defense?
You know, I never played that game of putting percentages, but here's what I see. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I don't know, if I had to put a number on it, I don't know, 40, somewhere between 40 and 50, because at the end of the day, the number one thing that this team is supposed to be built on is a defense. And the number one thing that you have to do, and Gunther said this years and years ago, you have to take away the run first and foremost. It leads to everything else. I mean, honestly, I didn't think Ben was very good. You know, honestly, you take that tip from Gaines into AB's hands, and that's a whole different ballgame, both in the score and the perception of how Roethlisberger plays. But one thing that you cannot take away from them is they run all up and down this defense and over and over. You switch out three guys in the front seven and you get no change in the result. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's systemic. And to me, that's embarrassing to let a single back run for 350 yards on you in back-to-back games.
I would say there's a difference between embarrassing and impactful, though, because I agree that it's embarrassing and it's disheartening to watch. But at the end of the day, the Steelers scored below their average for what they normally score. They scored well below what an average NFL team scores. They scored the equivalent of basically what the Browns average per game, right? At least when you're talking about offensive scores. And despite the yardage, they still were forced to punt, I believe it was five times out of 11 drives. Yeah. I don't remember. I had it written down. But they were forced to punt the majority of their drives. They were forced to punt, and there was also an interception that gave the offense phenomenal field position. Here's what I would say. If the offense plays even an average game, they win. And that's how I kind of base that kind of thing on. And, you know, percentages, I can understand how, you know, you can kind of, you know, you can really go off into la-la land doing percentages on that kind of thing. Right. But I would just, you know, the defense, Steelers started with the ball. Chiefs forced them to punt. What a beautiful opportunity to take momentum. Instead, the Chiefs offense gave them points.
Right, okay. And I won't deny that the offense played terrible either, but close your eyes for a second and picture this Steelers team who had been giving up, who had only been gaining 74 yards a game rushing before this contest. Imagine the Chiefs hold them to that again, just to their average to this point in the season. How different is the outcome of this game, regardless of how bad the offense was, because they were terrible too?
I really have no idea, because the offense was that bad.
I think it's a win no matter what.
I don't see that offense. But I mean, what you're saying is, you know, it's the Steelers being held to what they've averaged so far this year. What they've averaged this year has been kind of an aberration, right? I mean, there's no one who thinks the Steelers have a legitimately horrible offense. They've been really out of sync, clearly. And I think a lot of that is because Ben Roethlisberger isn't what he used to be. But this is still a team that, you know, hung 26 on the Ravens, although they got some help from their defense. And so I hear you in that. But to me, it's just a matter of that's kind of dealing in hypotheticals. When what I know happened is the offense had negative net yards at halftime. They didn't get a first down until there was a minute left in the set first half. And so, to me, the offense was so bad. You know, people talk a lot about, like, you know, the defense affecting the offense kind of thing, right? Like, say, like, Pat Mahomes had to play a certain way because his defense was so terrible, right? We don't always talk about, you know, how the offense can affect the defense. And what you had there is you had, I mean, seriously, two plays punt, or two plays safety, three plays field goal, three plays punt, three plays punt, three plays punt, five plays, end of half. You know what I mean? The defense just, I mean, you a lot of those rushing yards, how many of those get taken away if the Steelers don't get the ball back time after time after time? You know what I mean? And so I totally hear you. And I don't think, you know, obviously the run defense is concerning. The Steelers are like the Chiefs' kryptonite. I have not, Therese was tweeting about this during the game. I have no idea why they have such a hard time getting off blocks against them. It's just unbelievable, even with a couple of subs in there. Yeah. I mean, I was hoping Benny Logan would be immune, but he was the same way.
Right. Like, the new guys weren't impervious to it as much as anybody else, right? We were talking about that yesterday. It's just they got their number for some reason.
They absolutely do. And then, you know, on the flip side, defensively and offensively, Mike Tomlin has Andy Reid's number like no other coach does. And Alex Smith's. The zone blitz and zone coverage schemes they have, I really do think, you know, it's not as simple as saying they're daring Alex to beat them deep, because it's not that simple, right? They're doing a bunch of other stuff too, because they're getting pressure so quickly that it's not just that easy to just, you know, drop back and throw it deep.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. You got the Chiefs or do you got the Raiders? Do you got Chicago or Detroit? Well, let me tell you this, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why we always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts, seriously, just two business days. You know who's going to win, right? Go lay down some cash and win big today.
And that's why we're urging you to check out mybookie.ag. You win, they pay. It's that simple. They have live in-game betting and the most rewarding perks in this business. An all-new mobile site makes it really, really easy to wager on the go, and it makes it so simple that my dog could probably do it. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000, and they'll match it 100% bonus. That's 2-for-1 on your deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer. Visit MyBookieAG today. You play, you win, you get paid.
But they just really, I'm in the middle of reviewing Alex's film, and I've lost track of the number of protections that were just missed.
Terrible, right?
Like, not even in a way, like, though, to where it seems like the offensive line just failed, but to where, like, it seemed like they inappropriately identified the blitz. You know what I mean? Like, they thought it was coming right, but it came left. Well, and yeah, I've never seen that with Alex.
I looked at the run game footage. I haven't looked at the passing at all. But what I see there is a bunch of miscommunication, missing twists, missing doubles. I mean, Schwartz just letting to it go multiple times, and several of them where his guard. I mean, I know Irving's new, but you still can't be completely unexpecting the fact that your tackle's going to let this guy rush and barely touch him, and you're looking the other direction.
And honestly, when in doubt, and you know, Schwartz has had his ups and downs as a Chief. He's not been quite as dominant as people hoped. But generally speaking, he's a good lineman, and he knows his assignments. And so I got to be honest, when in doubt, I'm going to put that on Irving.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just saying the communication. If one is the elder and knows what he's doing, you have to communicate in those five.
Also true. And I really think, I mean, we're finally seeing, you know, they lost Mortz and Fulton. Mortz and Fulton came in, and they were already down a starter from last year. But Fulton, you know, he's been in the system for a few years, so he knows what he's supposed to do. I don't think he's as good at Mortz in identifying protections and stuff. But then it wasn't too bad because LDT was there. LDT's been in the system a couple years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you take LDT out and you replace him with a very, very below average lineman who doesn't know the system. And it's been rough sledding. Kareem Hunt needs to basically be a superhero to gain 4 yards against the Steelers. It was gross. But I really do understand why, you know, people are frustrated with the defense. I just, for me, all the offense needed to do was to just not be horrible. And they win that game. And I just think that if the defense, you know, because the defense wasn't horrible in all phases, you know what I mean? One thing I don't get, and I know we want to talk about the Raiders game, I really wish the Chiefs would have switched up to a more of a four verts offense before late in the game. Because that's when you finally saw some of those zone buster routes, right? Because if you got four guys running deep, zone coverage isn't really able to account for that, usually.
Right, unless you see them all back up and play that deep four.
Yep, and then you have Kareem Hunt one-on-one with someone who's overmatched. Doesn't matter who it is, he's overmatched.
And I told this to Chris yesterday. It's like, if they could have shifted into that earlier, because Alex was effective late. When he had to go downfield because he knew he did, and he wasn't able to try and pull it down or try to ignore an open receiver. The thing with Robinson, I think, is bothersome, especially how much he's going to need him in the near future. So I agree with you.
No, so it'll be interesting to see what they do against Oakland, because I would assume, here's the thing, you know, people talk about, you know, people are going to imitate what the Steelers did, and I had people ask if the Raiders were going to imitate it, and I'm not afraid of that at all. The Raiders aren't well coached enough, nor are they disciplined enough, nor are they talented enough to do what the Steelers did. Right?
Hey Ryan, does that sound familiar?
You know, I know you said the same thing. Yeah, and I fully admit there's nobody else in this league that's like Ryan Shazier. That's just a fact.
Right.
But I fear for what's going to happen in the second time. I know what you're trying to do.
No, I'm trying, Seth. I'm not trying to steal your thunder. I'm just saying. I said that exact same thing on yesterday's podcast. You know, the coach is not near as good. The players aren't near as good. I don't know that I went into scheme necessarily, but you're right on that too.
Well, Pittsburgh plays a unique scheme. They play more zone than anyone in the NFL. And I mean, Ryan, you were watching the run snaps. Man, watch the pass snaps. They played like almost exclusively zone. And teams never do that. But not only do they play zone, they've got a great zone blitz scheme where they are exceptional at blitzing where you don't expect them from and covering the first hot read, right? And so you create a situation where a quarterback's got to be good at post-snap reads. They are tailor-made to be a bad matchup for Alex Smith. Tailor-made. And I don't think anyone else can even come close to imitating it. I think Belichick could do it with time and the right personnel, but obviously he doesn't have that this year.
Right, right.
Well, and the other side of that is that, you know, no other team is going to, or especially the Raiders aren't going to be able to imitate that in the 3 days prep that they have for this game.
Absolutely not. And I think a lot of teams, if they try to do similar concepts, you're going to see a ton of blown zones. Yep. And blown zones against Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are going to get you killed. The Steelers, they played really, really well. And, you know, look, I'm going to do the Alex Smith film review thing and, you know, why, you know, I'm doing it. And there were some bad plays by Alex, but a lot of it too, Pittsburgh just played really well. There weren't open receivers. And pressure was getting home. What are you going to do? But hey, they're playing the Raiders tonight.
Now, this person should be a little bit different, right?
This should be a little bit different. You know, Khalil Mack has historically really had his way with Eric Fisher. Although Fisher did better last year. I'm a little nervous about that. But, I mean, the Raiders, they're reeling right now. Now, division games are tough. It's a turnaround Thursday night game on the road. The Chiefs hopefully are ticked.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. And what we need to see, what I'm going to have my eye on, and I think what everyone else in the Chiefs kingdom is going to have their eyes on, is Alex Smith. And I hate that it always comes back to the quarterback, but it does, right? I mean, we saw through the first 5 weeks of the season, outside the Chargers game where Alex was kind of meh, we saw what really high-level quarterback play did for this team.
But, okay, and I'm not arguing with you because I agree with everything you just said. But what I will say is I completely disagree with the thought process that Alex Smith is who we always thought he was.
You know, I had a lot of people saying that. And, you know, I spent a lot of time arguing with that. I've had a lot of weird arguments on Twitter this week. On one hand, I've got people yelling at me for not saying that Alex is who he always thought he was. On the other hand, I got people yelling at me for saying Alex had a bad game. And so that's been frustrating. But here's what I would say. The idea that one game means that he is who we thought he was. Because, I mean, you guys, I appeared with you a million times this offseason, give or take. And, you know, I was a little more down on Alex than I think either of you. Mm-hmm. And I was ready to move on. And even in preseason, I said, I'm not sure if Alex can do anything that Mahomes can't do. Which, you know, that we don't have to argue about that today. That comes down to what you think of Mahomes, really.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing. If Alex has another poor game, it's going to be tough to not believe that what we saw was a blip on the radar rather than the new norm. Because a lot of quarterbacks have bad games. It happens, right? Not a lot of very good quarterbacks have two very bad games in a row.
Exactly.
Now, he's in a tough spot because I think Wilson's going to be out again. But here's the deal. Robinson was getting open. Now, not nearly as much as some people are saying, like, oh, Robinson was open all game. Not quite like that. But you know what? He's got some skills. He's got quick feet. Mm-hmm. He gets separation. And so, you know, there's obviously the issue. But at the end of the day, you know, with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and with Andy Reid scheming, you're still going to have shots. Just like Alex, even went in a game where the team played Andy Reid about as well as you can, there were still chances, right? And Alex has traditionally played so well against the Raiders, except for, I think, one game. And so if he has another poor showing, that's going to be concerning for me. Or let's say if he has kind of like a meh showing, like say against the Chargers this year, that looks a lot more like an Alex Smith 2016 game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to not start wondering, right? Because if we're going to, on a basis of 4 or 5 games, we're going to say, hey, it's a brand new Alex, look at this. Well, then on the basis of 2 games, we should be willing to say, well, I don't know, right?
Well, I'm hoping that it doesn't come down to that because I think this game has to feature Kareem Hunt way more than it did last week.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to see more Kareem Hunt. I mean, he's a stud. He is, and you saw that late in the game, you know. He gets the ball, and he makes things happen. And I don't know why you don't want the ball in that guy's hands 20 times a game. He is the first player in NFL history with 100 yards from scrimmage his first 6 games. That is unbelievable.
It's incredible, especially when he couldn't get but 20 on the ground.
Yeah, and he just made stuff happen. That stiff arm of Williams. Now, Williams killed him on a couple of blitzes early in the game.
Especially pass.
But that stiff arm, and Williams, I don't know if you saw, he was making jokes about it on Twitter. He said he plays like he's got like 3 kids or something like that. He's like, no way you were in college this year. Vince Williams is really funny. Because he got hurt late in the game and Steelers fans were asking if he was all right. And he tweeted, I'm fine. Just my pride's a little hurt from that stiff arm, which that play was awesome. My wife later on, she's like, I felt so bad for that guy. And that's how I know it was a good football play.
Is that how you judge?
Yep. So we should see a lot more of Kareem Hunt. I want to see Travis Kelce be a featured part of the offense again, like he was in the first half against the Texans. Mm-hmm. I they need Morrison LDT back in a bad way. And that'll really help right the ship. Albert Wilson coming back would help in the limited role that he's been in. I'm worried they're going to bring him back and try to make him the number 2 wide receiver. I'm terrified. But we'll see how it goes. But as much as a cliche as it is, I'm really going to be watching, you know, Alex. And, you know, is it just the Steelers? or it's something more going on there. And similar things with the defense, too, because the defense has done some pretty good things this season, despite kind of frustrating stats. And so that'll be something, those are two things worth keeping an eye on, because objectively, the Raiders are a worse team than the Chiefs. There's no way around it. Yep. They are less talented. They're not as well coached. There's no reason the Raiders should beat the Chiefs.
Well, let's even have you start that. When you look at it, when you look for the prediction, what do you see happening?
I have two things that I see happening. One very hopeful and one very fearful. I'm really afraid that what we saw against Pittsburgh is the start of something with regards to our offense. Not necessarily teams playing us a certain way, but just a regression. So I'm a little afraid about that. But what I see happening, I think you see the Chiefs get back on track. I think you see, like you said, a healthy dose of Kareem Hunt. And they get back to more of what they do. They really did not do a lot of the stuff that's really made them so successful the first 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. It looked a lot more like the Chiefs offense last year. And I'm not talking performance. I'm talking schematically.
Yeah, the play calling.
It looks similar to 2016, not this hybrid read option spread offense that we've seen. It looked a lot more like what we saw in 2016. That freaked me out. It was bizarre. And so I think you'll see more of a return to that. I don't think Oakland's remotely disciplined enough to handle it, and I think the Chiefs win handily. One thing I would love for them to do is to come out in a four verts concept and really start pushing the ball down the field, because you need to let teams know, hey, that was an anomaly. Alex Smith 2.0 is a real thing.
Right.
And yeah. So early. That's what I'm hoping to see.
You got a score you're looking for?
I predicted a Steelers blowout last week, or not a Steelers blowout, but a Chiefs blowout last week. So I'm going to be pretty conservative here. I do think the Chiefs managed to get back on track. I'm going to say the defense still concerns me, so I'm going to say 27-20.
Chris, where do you see it coming out?
I'm not going to go conservative just because I think Oakland is worse than they have been in the past, and I don't think they get it together against a Chiefs team that's going to be pissed off about the way they played on Sunday. I think that Kansas City is going to win handily, 34-17 maybe.
Wow, that's even bigger than mine. For the first time this season, I'm going to pick double-digit win for the Chiefs. I think that's exactly what you think. I see them doing what Pittsburgh did last week to them. They should be embarrassed. They should be mad. I think they come out, and I see it as 31-20 Chiefs. Let's hope one of us is right, because I think we're on the same track.
Well, if one of us is right, then they win the game. That's what we want. So
right. Folks, hit us on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs with your predictions, especially today. You know, it's a lot of run-up. This is Thursday Night Football. It's a national televised game. It's a big deal to help this team get back on track. So we want to know what you think. Make sure you're checking all those subscriptions. We've had all those changes lately. Spread the word. Tell five friends. They'll tell five friends. Let's keep this thing rolling. We thank you for all of your effort and all your reviews. And we will be back with you post-game. We'll probably record very, very recently after it's concluded. So keep it here. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter, at Ryan Tracy NFL and at Chris Clark NFL. We'll talk to you next time.